Father God, we just ask today that you would be in our midst, Lord God, that you would allow your Holy Spirit to do a work within us, Lord God, and that you would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts, Lord God, to hear and receive and to do what it is that you're asking of us today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I don't get to share very often, so it's exciting for me because it doesn't seem like it's a whole lot of work, but it is. I mean, you have to do a lot of research and a lot of praying. I do a lot of praying, you know. Usually, though, when most people pray, they get like a scripture or they get a whole, passage, and they teach out of that. And the Lord usually gives me a word. Not like a word, one word. Last time I shared, the word was intentional. This time, the word he gave me was perspective. So I'm going to share what the Lord has shown me about that. The definition of perspective is your mental view, the way you see something, your outlook, position, point of view, particular attitude toward something, or way of regarding something. So just keep that in mind as I share some things. When I was researching, the internet's a wonderful thing. I mean, you can find all kinds of wonderful videos and podcasts and sermons on the internet. But I came across this one story, and I thought it really had me thinking. And this is what really caused me to grab hold of the word perspective in the first place. But the story was about this art critic, Robert Cumming, and he was studying a painting, and it was by a 15th century Italian Renaissance master artist called Filippino Lippi. I don't know. I'm not an art person, so I'm sure Pastor Cindy probably knows who that is. But this painting that he was studying was hanging in London's National Gallery. And it was a depiction of the Virgin Mary holding baby Jesus. And there were two saints that were kneeling by her. And the painting really bothered him because this artist was known for his composition and his color and how all his paintings were magnificent. But this one seemed to be off. And he just kept looking at it like the proportions were wrong. Like the saints look awkward, the mountains in the background looked like they were falling forward. And he said, just wasn't right, And, over the years, many critics had that same idea. They criticized this painting because they said it was out of proportion. There was something wrong with it. So even like the gaze of Mary was off. It was like just the whole thing anyway. So as he was studying it, he began to realize, and he got this revelation that it wasn't the painting there was a problem with. It was how he saw the painting. And he realized this painting was never meant to hang in a gallery, in an art gallery, in a museum, anywhere. It was this artist, Lippi, was commissioned to paint this portrait or this picture to hang in a prayer room. So what he decided to do is change his perspective. He got down on his knees in this public gallery, art gallery, and he looked up. And as he looked up, everything in the painting was perfectly proportioned. The saints were great. The mountains in the background were where they were supposed to be. And Mary's eyes were looking directly at him. And it was not the perspective of the painting that was wrong. It was the perspective of the people looking at it. And this art critic on his knees found beauty in this painting that nobody else could see. And it only came alive to those on their knees in prayer for which it was made. Yeah, isn't that incredible? I mean, what an example of having the right perspective in our Christian walk, even, the position of prayer, the, and on our knees is a position of humility and a position of worship. You know, there's so much being said in this hour in the church about perseverance too. And I believe in order to persevere with the Lord, many times we need to change our perspective about what we see and how we see it and what the Lord is doing in our life circumstances. You know, we think becoming a Christian and everything's going to be smooth and, you know, everything's going to be great. Scriptures tell us the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But the difference is how we look at it and how a Christian looks at trials and tribulations as opposed to someone that's in the world. Being a Christ follower gives us a kingdom perspective, changes how we see and what we see in light of who God is. You know, there was another, this is the example I thought about when talking about perspective. My grandsons and I used to do this. They had these little binoculars, you know, and we would take the binoculars and we'd turn them around and we'd look through them that way. And everything looked teeny tiny. And then if you turn them around and use them for what they were purposed for, everything became larger. And, you know, when we look at things in our lives in the proper way, the intent changes, the intent of what is going on, just like the intent of these binoculars was to bring things closer, not farther away. And we begin to function how we were created to function. And, you know, many times, I'm guilty of this too. You know, I just see improperly when I look at things. I have a distorted perspective. And many of us come to Christ with this distorted perspective because of the past, whether it be wounds or rejections or physical issues, whatever, you know, fill in the blank. We all come to Christ with a distorted perspective. And a lot of times that perspective births fear and unbelief. And that's another thing that's been, we've been talking about from the pulpit is belief, you know. God heal our unbelief, because there are many areas of my life that I have to really pull it back and say, you know, what's God, what are you doing? Show me something different here. You know, I have the ability, great ability to make a mountain out of a molehill. I do that. You know, I'll see something and it becomes larger and larger and larger. And then I get into the what ifs and if onlys. And it really basically is just something little, you know. I have the right perspective. And instead of seeing it as this huge thing, I have to take a step back and see a bigger picture and honestly evaluate what my mind is imagining. You know, where am I at here? And many times we need an honest evaluation of our perspectives. You know, does the world define our thinking patterns? What does the world say? You know, what is the world telling you? And what is the Word of God telling you? So I found some great examples of this in Scripture. One is in the Old Testament. I have to admit, I'm not in the Old Testament a whole lot. You know, I'll read the Psalms and the Proverbs, and I like the prophetic words, the prophets and that. But this is in 2 Kings. The story is in 2 Kings, chapter 6. And it's the story of Gazi. His name's Gazi. And Elisha. And to summarize, it was the Syrians were coming against Elisha. So they sent all these horses and chariots and this vast army, and they surrounded the city where Elisha was at night. So when they got up in the morning, Elisha's servant Gehazi looks out the window, and what he sees is the enemy. And his perspective was, and he goes to Elisha, "We're doomed. We're going to be all killed. The enemy's out there. and they're going to overtake us. There's more. There's so many of them out there. And, you know, it's just doom and gloom. But Elisha gets up and he looks out the very same window, and he sees a God perspective. And he makes this faith decree. Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they will be with them. You know? And then he prays for Gehazi, for God to open his eyes. And what happens is the Lord opens Gehazi's eyes and he sees this multitude, this heavenly host, this army on the mountains, this army of fire that's with them. That's incredible to me, you know. But at the beginning, Gehazi had this unbelief and was fueled by a broken perspective. All he could see was the enemy. All he could see was coming against him, the spiritual blindness. And so many times we are like that, you know, and apart from divine intervention and prayer, we can't help but go fumbling in the dark, you know. So our perspective needs to change when we see the enemy coming after us. When we see, or we feel, or we think that we're doomed, we're done for, or I'm never going to be healed, I'm always going to be this way. You know, we have a broken perspective when we think of that. You know, our God is sovereign. He's still righteous. And he's still a God who answers prayer, who fulfills all his promises. And he's a God who makes things happen. He's our defender. He's our protector. I mean, I have this book at home and every once in a while, I just pull it out because I think, you know, I need to remind myself, but it's about all the names of God and who he is. And he is all that and so much more, even more than we can hope or imagine. He really is. I mean, you think about during the Exodus, God delivered his people from Egypt and they're wandering in the desert. You know, and he performed miracles. You know, he saved them from the plagues. He parted the Red Sea. He gave them food out of the dirt, manna from heaven. You know, he gave them water out of a rock. All these things, you know, pillars of fire and shaking mountains and stuff. And in their perspective, all they saw was they should have stayed in Egypt because it was easier. And their response was to form a cow out of gold and worship it, you know? Now, I know none of us have ever done that, make a cow out of gold, but we do have things that we end up worshiping when we're not relying on God and trusting him. And, you know, there's so many examples in scripture. I really encourage you to read some of them with a different perspective. You know, there's Adam and Eve, there's Cain and Abel, Job versus his wife. Job was one who, you know, he believed God and he trusted him, even though God took everything from him. And his wife's perspective was curse God and die. David and Goliath, the world saw Goliath as ginormous beast that was going to conquer them and kill them all. And David was like, who is he compared to our God? You know, he saw God bigger. And there's so many, Joseph and his brother, Saul, who becomes Paul. Talk about being blind and then getting a different perspective on things, you know. Rahab, Mary Magdalene, the woman at the well. There's so many that show us that in a different perspective, when we have a different perspective, circumstances change, you know. And, you know, of course, Jesus is the perfect example. He taught the disciples. He wasn't just teaching them scripture or the Old Testament. He was teaching them to see with different eyes. to take scripture, to take things of the Old Testament and see it in a different light. And they believed in him. And God blessed them with a spiritual sight. And you can read about that in Luke 10. And then, you know, they have this spiritual sight. And then here's the, you know, the Pharisees. Sometimes I wonder, how could they be so dense? Here they are, Jesus, the Savior of the world, the Messiah, is right in front of them. And they don't see it. They don't see who he is. Because they were spiritually blind, their perspective was on the law and not the one who fulfills the law. So, you know, in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 6, Paul tells us the devil is actively working through the sin of fallen mankind, and it blocks our perspective, blinds us to the glory of God in Jesus. And, you know, one of the devil's greatest weapons is not to whisper in our ear that God isn't true. Well, he does say that, but he doesn't. He's not an atheist. There's no such thing as an atheist, by the way. If you believe in nothing, you still have a belief. There's still a belief. So, you know, devil doesn't really go there. Where he goes is to tell us a different story about what we're seeing. Tell us to interpret things that we deny in a way, and it further distorts our understanding of God. Devil doesn't just say, you know, there is no God. What he tells us is God doesn't hear your cries. You're alone. You're unloved. You're unacceptable. You know, I mean, fill in the blank. You know, we've all heard those voices from the enemy. The enemy tells us these things. But the devil also says to us, you know what? You're a good person. You're doing good. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I've tried to share the gospel with, and their response is, I'm a good person. I'm nice to people. You know, I do nice things. Or the devil will tell people, you're free to become and to learn about God and come to God on your own terms. God never says that. We don't come to God on our own terms. That way, then we make him our own special little idol, you know. And isn't that the philosophy of the world today, you know? We're all good people. You do you, I'll do me. You know, that's the perspective of the world. You know, we can't come to God on our own terms. God has a different perspective than our human comprehension, even, you know. And granted, when we accepted Christ, we were given new sight. You know, we weren't able to see things as they really are. God is bigger. We need a savior. We are sinners. You know, that was a big one to recognize. To come to God, we needed a savior, you know, and our eyes are open to many things, but our perspective is still blurred in many areas. We could see God. Sometimes we see his glory, our sin, our need for our savior, the uniqueness of who Jesus Christ is. But we're far from having 20/20 vision. Even as Christians, one of our greatest needs is that we need greater sight. We need to see the Lord greater in a greater way, in a new way, because he is doing a new thing. And we've been talking about that as well. He's doing a new thing. So what is he doing, you know? And our perspective, or this perspective of God, really matters. The story in Mark 8, I love this story. It talks about the blind man. And people brought this blind man to Jesus, and they begged Jesus to touch him and restore his sight. The first thing Jesus did was to take the man, and he led him out of the village. Now, sometimes I read that, and it's like, okay, well, why would he do that? And you know the people that brought him to Jesus are following him. They must have been, you know. And I think it was to change the perspective of the people by removing them from their circumstance, removing them from where they're at, removing them from what was familiar. He took them out of their village. And not just to say, okay, I'm going to heal this guy. It made them look at things differently. Like, why is he doing this? You know, do you ever read a scripture and go, what does that mean? You know, why are you saying this, Jesus? If you ask the Lord that, he'll show you. He'll reveal it to you, you know? And then Jesus does a thing that I kind of think, I don't know how I would feel about that, but he spit on the guy's eyes, you know? And he says, do you see anything? And the man says, he says, I see men, but they're like men, like trees walking. So he could see, but not quite all the way. And then Jesus gave him a second touch. And he laid his hands on him again. And he said he could see everything clearly. Sometimes in our thinking, we need a second touch from Jesus. Sometimes I'll see something and I think I have the right perspective. And then it turns out, as I walk with Christ and as I get closer to him, I don't. And then the Lord touches me again and gives clarity. Takes away the fuzzy edges. No, not that I can see everything clearly, believe me. I am way far away from there, you know. In Ephesians 1, 16 through 21, Paul prays that the eyes of the Ephesians be open, you know. Now, he's talking to Christians there. He's talking to people that have already recognized Christ as the Messiah. But he knew, Paul knew that there needed to be a greater sight in the people for them to know God's calling on their lives and the hope it provides, the riches of their inheritance in Jesus, the immeasurable greatness of God's power in Christ Jesus and his resurrection from the dead. And Paul knew, and we should know, that without the proper perspective that is given by God, the Ephesian church would not and could not know that apart from knowing those things, and they would wander away from truth instead of walking in perseverance, courage, and peace. So here we are hundreds of years later, you know, and we're still kind of in the same boat. We're still looking to see what it is that we don't see. And we're still asking God to reveal to us, you know. And do you ever wonder why it's so hard sometimes to trust fully in God? Because we don't see in our trials and tribulations and sufferings sometimes. We don't see with the right perspective. You know, it's a little skewed. Like, okay, we know there's a purpose in this, and you know, what is the purpose in this? And again, it's the perspective. And we've also been hearing a lot in from Pastor Bird about walking in the Holy Spirit. And we need, in this hour, more than ever, we need the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us to the right perspective, to the right spirit that we're walking in, you know? And the fact that we can't see God doesn't make him any less glorious, doesn't make him any less faithful, doesn't make him any less. I'm even at work, lost for words right now for the right words to call him, because he is so incredible, so magnificent, so marvelous, so beautiful, you know? And even if we don't see perfectly, it doesn't take away from anything of Jesus's atoning work on the cross. Doesn't make it any less sufficient. It's all sufficient. Our blindness caused by sin and having a poor perspective doesn't undo a single aspect of God's victory through Christ Jesus. We have the victory. So how do we get the proper perspective? And you know, we need the Holy Spirit. And apart from the Holy Spirit, we don't see properly. I mean, I can read scripture and read it and have my own interpretation. But if I ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to me what God is saying in this passage, it's a whole new ballgame. You know, the Holy Spirit just opens up and reveals so much more, you know. God wants to reveal everything that we need to know through his word and through the person of his son, Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure you all know that, but sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget about it. You know, we're struggling with something that's could be life-threatening or something that has plagued us. You know, the enemy comes against us, and we need a source of power to grow and persevere and to walk out our salvation. And it's all in his book. It's all in the scriptures, you know. We are transformed. We are renewed in our minds. So we really need to give ourselves to knowing God's word and to prayer and asking the Holy Spirit to illuminate the words that we read and the prayers that we pray. And walking with a spiritual perspective is God-given, not our given, but it gives us the ability to let go of what we see and trust in what God says is actually happening through his word or through his Holy Spirit. What's actually happening in my life? Why is this trial taking place? Why is this happening? You know, why? Just fill in the blank. Because we all struggle with things. We struggle with things like on a daily basis sometimes. And as humans, it's hard for us to let go of something that we can't see or touch or feel and give it to the one that we really can't see or feel or touch in our humanness. Now, I know in the spirit we can, but physically in our human bodies, and I'm a very physical person, I guess you would call it. You know, I respond to hugs and that kind of thing. So it's hard for me to trust something or someone that I can't physically touch. It's hard for me to let go of those things. But rather than focusing on a problem that's temporary, you know, I look for what God wants to accomplish through whatever this situation is. And there's a potential that God has for each one of us that is far beyond what we even think, you know. It's eternal, not just for this. And what we glean from the scriptures, the time we spend with the Lord in prayer and reading his word and being guided by the Holy Spirit, it's for a purpose, not just for us. That I think about that, what Bashar shared in church that one day, and I'm telling you, it really has opened my eyes, gave me a different perspective I never thought of. He said, a fruit tree doesn't eat its own fruit. You have fruit on your tree, you give it away. And this is God's purpose for us to be in the proper perspective, walking in the right way. It's not just for us to live a nice life and to trust God and love God. And I mean, it is, and to have a relationship with him, that is number one, but it's for a purpose that is eternal, that goes beyond our own tree. Honestly, He wants us to come to the place of who he created us to display Jesus, so that they can become who he created them to be, you know? And Jesus, he saw things way beyond. Like, how many times have you saw some, like, look at somebody, I don't know, you were at the store or whatever, and you didn't like how they were dressed or something, and something automatically goes through your head about who they are. And Jesus never saw that, you know? He called Matthew to be a disciple. He was a tax collector, you know? Same as Zacchaeus, he was a tax collector as well, and he was a thief. He said he would, you know, repay people after he came to know Jesus. Jesus went to the home of Lazarus 3 days after he died. And here's Martha. If you had only been here, my brother would not have died. You know, that was her perspective. That just because Jesus wasn't there when she thought he was supposed to be, her brother died. You know, that wasn't Jesus's intent. His intent was to raise Lazarus from the dead and reveal the glory of God. You know, there are things in our lives that Jesus wants to display the glory of God by what he's doing. And we don't always see it that way. So I'm almost done. So stay with me, because I know this is a little long. And but, you know, Jesus and all the miracles he performed, he didn't need the disciples. He doesn't need us today. But he wants to partner with us. Isn't that incredible? To be partner with the Messiah, the King of the universe, the King of kings. I just can't wrap my head around that. That he wants to partner with us. And so we need, our perspective has to be for Christ alone being centered in our minds and our hearts, and focused on other people, not just ourselves. You know, we've talked about that in church. We need one another to make it through. We can't make it through. I can't make it through this life without all you guys. I just can't. I know I can't, you know. So he was Jesus, and Jesus spoke to every aspect of the human being, you know, in the physical realm. You know, he healed the sick. He performed miracles for the lame and the blind. And he ministered to people on the emotional level. You know, as fully human, even though he was fully God, he was fully human. He had emotions. He wept. He wept over Lazarus's death. He wept over Jerusalem. You know, he reached out to those that were hurting emotionally. He reached out to people spiritually, you know, revealing who he was. The power that was within him, the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're called to do more than just have a nice life with Christ, you know. It's for others. It's to serve others. It's to be Jesus to others, you know. I mean, if you think you don't have anything to give, ask the Lord. He'll show you. Maybe he just wants you to smile at somebody in the grocery store or have a kind word for somebody. Or maybe, you know, you could take a few hours. We have a backpack outreach coming up. The neighborhood's coming. Maybe they just need somebody to say, come on in, you're welcome, you know, or they may be struggling financially, and you have no idea what a tremendous blessing that may be for them to have backpacks for their children and school supplies. But to be part of that is what God is calling all of us to, you know, and you know, Jesus's ministry was always focused on God. Always focused on revealing who he was and who the Father was or is, I should say. You know, we can't focus on our own, what we're doing, our works. We have to understand that what we do and everything we do, everything we say is for the glory of God, you know? And when we do God's work, God's way, we get God's results and he gets the glory. Nothing to do with us, but he asks us to partner with him. Isn't that cool? I was listening to about, oh, wait a minute. I lost my place here. Hold on. So when we have the proper perspective, our peace, our perseverance, our actions, everything we do is anchored in the person of Jesus Christ. And we'll not be moved by our circumstances. We'll not be moved from that, of our trials, you know. But everything that we go through, whether it's good times, bad times, ups, downs, mountaintops or valleys, it's all to display the glory of God and the power of the gospel through Jesus Christ. So we'll have less time to worry about what's going on around us and be more focused on what is and how to use it for his glory, you know. So one other thing, quick. I was listening to, it was a podcast by Lisa Bevere. I love listening to her. She has such an awesome God perspective on everything that she shares. And she shared some keys how to change your perspective. And so I just wrote down some of them. I didn't write down them all, but one of the first things she said is to know when you are. Now, the first thing that went through my mind, I thought she meant to say where you are. And immediately she says in this podcast, now I know some of you were wondering and thinking I should have said when, where you are. She goes, but no, I'm saying when you are. Know when you are. And when is a time frame. You know, we're living in perilous times. We are living in the end times. Time is urgent. The older I get, the more I realize this, you know. I mean, how much time do I have left? I don't know. But I want to use every minute to share the gospel of Christ. And I want to see what it says in Acts about God pouring out his spirit on all flesh, and our sons and daughters will prophesy, and young men see visions, and old men dream dreams. I want to see all that. I want that to be in this when now time. And there's so much going on right now with the false prophetic, and you really need to get anchored in the word so you know what's coming from God and what's not, you know. We have to make the most of every day for the kingdom of God. So know when you are. Another thing she shared is know who you are, you know, your identity. Not what you do. It's not wrapped up in what you do, you know. I could do that very easily because I am a doer. I like to do things, and my identity is, you know, is not wrapped up in what I do. It's who God says I am, who God says you are, as opposed to who the devil says you are. Your value is from God and not from the world, and not what the world says that. What is your name? Your name, is it attached to your history, your past, or is it attached to your destiny? You know, God sees who you are, who you were in your past. He sees who you are today, but he also sees your future and who you're becoming. And what you need a revelation of is whose you are. Not just who you are. Your identity belongs to whose you are. And we are daughters of the King of Kings. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We're called according to God's purposes. We have forgiveness of our sins. I mean, I could go on and on, but we don't have all day. So now you need to know where you are, okay? And where you are is especially important, I think, to get a proper perspective as well, because where we are as a church can define and lead us into the proper perspective. Our church is a diverse church, you know? Talk to people that are different. Have conversations with people that have a different viewpoint, but love the Lord. You know, we did that in our church. We do that in our church all the time. We have black and white and rich and poor and young and old. I mean, the young people have a lot to say, you know, and we can learn a lot. We have a different perspective from the young people as they could have from us as well. And I just want to end with know what you are. What you are is a witness and a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You could be the answer to someone's prayer. And you know, there's so many areas that I think I'm just too weak. And, you know, we know that when we're weak, God makes them strong. But this last one just kind of brings such a confirmation and encouragement and such conviction as well. We carry the glory of God. We carry with Jesus Christ within us, who is the glory of God. We carry that. And we need to remember that and have that perspective as we go through life, as we meet people on the street, as we minister to those who know him and those who don't. I can't wrap my head around that. That we carry God's glory. It's just remarkable, just incredible to me. And I want to end with this scripture that I hope I didn't bring condemnation, which is not my intent, obviously, but in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, therefore we do not lose heart. And, you know, there's so many in our assembly that are going through a rough, rough time. Really rough. I mean, not just trials, but tribulations. And we don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So, Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would give us that eternal perspective, Lord God, that we see things through your eyes, Lord God, that everything we encounter, Lord God, the ups and downs of life, Lord God, that we would see with a perspective of the kingdom of God being revealed, Lord God. Teach us, lead us, guide us, and give us the ability to continue on with you, Lord God, and be carriers of the glory of God and messengers of the hope of Jesus Christ. Amen.